I, Paul, together here with Silas and Timothy, send greetings to the church at Thessalonica. Christians assembled by God the Father and by the Master Jesus Christ, God's amazing grace be with you. God's robust peace. Every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in following our Master, Jesus Christ, before God, our Father. It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. You paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live your life that way yourselves. In imitating us, you imitated the Master. Although great trouble accompanied the word, you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit, taking the trouble with the joy and the joy with the trouble. Do you know that all over the provinces of both Macedonia and Achaia, believers look up to you? The word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. People come up and tell us how you received us with open arms, how you deserted the dead idols of your old life so you could embrace and serve God, the true God. They marvel at how expectantly you await the arrival of his Son, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from certain doom. God's word.
Good morning, Bethany Covenant Church. Thank you, choir. Thank you, worship team. I saw Paul a minute ago, and I don't see him. Thank you, Bethany Covenant Church, for giving me such an amazing warm welcome. It is a really amazing gift to be here this morning, and I'm so feel so welcomed and cared for. This morning, I travel a little bit, and I preach in a few different Covenant churches, so I have to do a kind of a double check to make sure I know where I am, and I got some really good indications this morning. First one, I know that I'm in a church in the Pacific Northwest, because this morning in the announcements, it was about Jesus, kind of, but it was mostly about coffee, right? I mean, it was all about if you visit the church, you get free coffee. And it was all about if you're going to share your faith, you do it over coffee. And I just kept hearing coffee. And then they even said that because I'm a visitor, I got a cup of coffee. And I'll preach for coffee anytime. So the second thing that I see is that you're an incredibly generous church. And I know this because I've watched you from a long time. And you're generous in your community in the many, many ways that you reach out to both be the good news of Jesus and share the good news of Jesus in this community. Thank you for all of the ways you give witness to the love of Christ by the way that you live. It matters. It counts. It makes a difference. But you're not only generous here in Mount Vernon and in the Skagit Valley. You are generous through the Northwest Conference and through the denomination, the Covenant Church. Amazingly generous church. And you are touching the lives of people all around this country, planting new churches, sending missionaries, doing amazing things in relief and sustainable development. And thank you for that wonderful generosity. I also understand that you're a healthy church because I know an awful lot of your staff. I've known them for a long time. And healthy churches tend to call healthy staff, amen? And you have an amazing group of people leading this church. I would like to name something about all of them because I know a bunch of them and they're just amazing people. But last night in particular, I had the blessing of having dinner with Pastor Ryan and Amy, and then Randall was with us. And what a gift. What an amazing gift. One of the things that has caught my attention is that when we finally get to realize how much we need Jesus, one of the things that comes with that is a humility and recognition of how much we need each other. How much we need each other's encouragement and support and strength. And man, did I feel that last night. And boy, do I feel that every time I'm with Pastor Ryan and with Vicki and this whole wonderful group. So thank you. My goal this morning is very simple. I want to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in a very specific context, and that is talking about this very special opportunity for participating in God's work called Covenant Kids Congo, powered by World Vision. The Apostle Paul starts his letter to the Thessalonian church by saying, every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers. As we call to mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in following Jesus Christ. Can you please pray with me? And could you please pray for me? Lord Jesus, we ask that as I speak, we would hear you. We would ask that the extraordinary, counterintuitive wonder of your love for us becomes real to us again this morning, and that this enormous gift that you invite us to be a part of your work in the world becomes a joy and a celebration. Lord, open your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul falls all over himself writing to the Christians, the followers of Jesus in the church in Thessalonica. That was one of the churches that he planted as he went around the Mediterranean planting churches at the explosive growth of the church in the first century after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as he's writing to these believers, he is, as Pastor Ryan said, it's a thank you card. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for the way you serve. Thank you for the way you love. He says some amazing things. He says, not only does God love you very much, but he's put his hand on you for something special. He says, the Holy Spirit puts steel in your convictions. He says, we don't have to say anything more. We don't have to preach the good news because you yourself, the way you live, the way you share, the way you care, you yourself are the message. Every time we think of you, he talks about their faithfulness, their impact in their community, their faithfulness to Christ. He also says something that I really love. He says that not only are they an encouragement to each other and to people in their community, but that they're an encouragement to people way far away that they don't even know. And don't ever forget that. The smallest acts of obedience in your life are noticed by other people, they encourage other people, and they strengthen other people to follow Christ. What you do makes a difference. Every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers. And Paul starts this incredible litany in the first 10 verses of Thessalonians with this particular thank you. He says, every time we think of you, we thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers as we call to mind your work of faith. Work of faith. I want to suggest to you that that phrase, those two words together, work and faith, is a little bit of a puzzle. Because for those of us who grew up in the church, those of us who came to Christ in a church like this that believes that the Bible is the Word of God, and as we say in the covenant, the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct, we've been taught from the very beginning that this amazing gift of God's love for us individually, This amazing gift of God's love for the world is not something we work for. In fact, in Ephesians, Paul's really clear. He says, it's not from work so that any of us can boast. As if somehow by being good enough or faithful enough or stretching ourselves enough, we could somehow earn this amazing gift of God's love and forgiveness and grace and strength and healing. It's not that we believe in our goodness. It's not in our work, but in the work that Christ has done for us. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. His ongoing life of intercession for us. Aren't you glad? Wouldn't it be awful if we had to worry every night whether or not we'd been smart enough or wise enough or faithful enough or heretically even good enough to earn God's love? But it's grace, it's gift, it's free. It's His righteousness, it's never ours. So if that's true, and it is, what is this thing called work of faith? Isn't that two words that don't fit together? Because it's by faith. It's not by our work. So what is a work of faith? Isn't that an oxymoron? You know, kind of like jumbo shrimp. Two words that don't belong together. Or if you come from my unfortunate heritage, Norwegian extrovert. Well, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. Work of faith is not an oxymoron. It's not two words that don't go together. It's this amazing marriage between God's free gift of His love and His grace and His care in every moment of our lives. And the amazing thing that He loves us too much not to allow us to participate in the process by which we are transformed to look more and more like Him. Work of faith is this amazing gift that God in Christ sets us free from all of the things in this world that would take away our freedom and put us into a tiny little enclosed place, into a shrink-wrap life that's only about us. But instead, He sets us free to a wider life of giving and sharing. And He does that in such a way that He lets us join Him in the journey by which we are set free. It's this wonderful gift that Jesus is at work everywhere in the world, all the time. There is no situation in your life. There is no problem you're dealing with. There is no person that you love who's far away from Jesus where it is so intractable that Jesus isn't working in their life. But the work of faith part comes in the fact that we actually get to join Jesus in the work that Jesus is doing in the lives of the people we love. In the lives of broken situations, in the lives of broken places, we get to join Jesus in Jesus' work. A work of faith is things we do, concrete things. Giving, sharing, serving, caring. All of them works of faith. Things we actually do. Taking a step out the door, picking up the phone, going to the meeting, talking to the neighbor. Work of faith is things we actually do, concrete things, but never in order to earn God's love. Never. But to actually get to join Jesus in the work that Jesus is doing in our lives and in the world. A work of faith is where we step from the very sad country that I live in too much, and that's the sad country of looking at all the things I don't have, which is ridiculous, how much I've been blessed, but looking at the things I don't have and living in the country of I want and I need. Work of faith is where I step out of that country and step into the beautiful landscape of just look at what I get to do. Just look at what I get to do. Work of faith is where I move out of this difficult places of focusing on me instead of focusing on how much I am filled. Very quickly, I spent most of my life preaching so that people would approve of my preaching. I finally realized God already loves me. When I get up to preach, I can give. I've been given so much. What a wonderful way to live, that you believe that everything you ever need is already abundantly given to you in Christ. A work of faith. It's where we participate with God's work in the world. And I have two convictions about it. One of them is almost every blessing in my life is from God through other people's works of faith. Amen? It's people who loved me when I wasn't easy to love. It's people who were patient with me when I wasn't easy to be patient with. It's people who mentored me. It's people who took time to get to know me. It's people who actually just lived their own lives stepping out in Christ, and I watched them and I said, wow, that really is possible, isn't it? You can really live that way. First of all, every blessing is from someone else's work of faith. And secondly, and please don't hear myself walking back what I said before, but it's really hard to grow in faith unless you act in faith. Unless we step out in what I call holy habits, new ways of behaving, holy habits and holy risk, taking chances following Jesus, God's going to love us no matter what. His grace is sufficient. He will take care of us. He will love us. But it's really hard to actually grow in my understanding of how powerful and gracious and real this God is if I'm not taking steps of walking with Him. It's hard to grow in faith unless I'm active in works of faith. So this is Paul's joy for the church in Thessalonica. His joy is that they're active in works of faith. Every time I think of you, I thank God for you. Day and night, you're in our prayers as we call to mind, as we think about the ways you are active in living out the gospel in your life. I want to talk about a very specific work of faith this morning, and it's sponsoring a child in this program called Covenant Kids Congo, powered by World Vision. Again, I'm talking about it as a work of faith, and the first reason I want to say it's a work of faith is that for this little denomination that you're a part of, called the Evangelical Covenant Church, you know, there are denominations that have more churches in one state than we have in the whole country. We're not that big. I want to say that this is an enormous step of faith. Covenant Kids Congo started out in the missional heart of our president, Gary Walter. About 8 years ago, he took his first trip ever to Congo. Congo is deep in the Evangelical Covenant Church. We have been sending missionaries to Congo for over 81 years. When I was a little kid in primary school in a covenant church in Minneapolis, I prayed for kids in Congo. It's been a part of my life my whole life. And what Gary experienced there is amazing because they're twice the size of the covenant in the United States. We're 850 churches. They're really, if you count church plants, they're something like anywhere from 1,600 to 2,000 congregations. They minister to over 1.5 million people. They have 90,000 children in schools. They have 5 hospitals, 100 clinics in the communities. Don't think of the community or the clinics that you go to here. They send missionaries, which given the fact that we talk about good economies and bad economies, and essentially they have no industrial economy. It's amazing. They send missionaries to people in the north and to the south of them in Africa. What Gary saw the first time he went to Congo was absolutely stunning in terms of the spiritual life of this church. But it was also hard because in the late 90s and early 2000s, the Democratic Republic of Congo experienced what historians call Africa's First World War. They call it Africa's First World War because it was a civil war in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but all of the other nations joined in. And so it was a global conflict, a continent-wide conflict in Africa. Ted Koppel apologized to the American people. I heard him on TV when he apologized. He said, in that conflict in the 90s and early 2000s, over 5 million people lost their lives. And we hardly heard about it in our press at all. So what he saw was hard to see. When World Vision came in on our invitation and experienced that part of Congo for the first time, they found that only 11% of people had access to clean water. There's no public electricity. There is no basic infrastructure for life. The roads are terrible almost all the time. Only less than 40% of children had access to basic immunizations. Only 25% of girls ever got to high school. Most of them never graduated. And the most devastating statistic is at least 9 out of 10 moms are going to lose one child before the age of 5. When Gary flew home from Congo, he had a tough question to ask himself, and that is, am I simply going to celebrate the spiritual vitality of our sister church, or is God calling me to do something really amazing, a huge step of faith? What came out of that was our inviting World Vision, the largest Christian development organization in the world, to join us in Northwest Congo. And what we call that is Covenant Kids Congo, powered by World Vision. It's in the city of Gemena, the city where the offices of the Covenant Church of Congo are located. And it is a city, I'm frustrated about this, we don't know what the population is. They don't do censuses in Northwest Congo. But it's anywhere from 200,000 to 400,000 people. I would go on a higher side as I've experienced it. But the idea is to do, through World Vision, community development, which includes health, education, advocacy for children and women, education, agriculture, microfinance, sustainable community development for the ground up for 15 to 20 years. 15 to 20-year program. And the goal is for us as a covenant to sponsor 10,000 children. If you do the math at sponsoring a child at $40 per month, you're talking about the covenant adding $5 million to its already amazingly expansive mission budget. $5 million a year for the covenant for 15 to 20 years. I call that a work of faith. And I want to say something, just to be really clear about this. The sponsorship is a bit counterintuitive. When you pay the $40, you have a relationship with that child. That child gets a level of care it's never received before. But the money doesn't actually go to the child, it goes to all of the children of the community because it's comprehensive development for the entire community. I call that a work of faith. The second reason it's a work of faith is because things that are happening that nobody ever imagined could happen before. I was with the Sunday school class between, and I told Vicki there's a number of videos that are great, and you can see those when you have a chance. I'm only going to name one thing. When World Vision did its assessment, only 11% of people had access to water. In the city of Gemena, which may be 200,000 or 300,000 people, there are now 41,000 people with water close to their homes. 41,000 people. I walked with Bernadette. I walked with Bernadette where she used to go to water. It was a mile walk in the blazing sun. She carried her jerry can, which weighs 40 pounds when it's full. And we walked through the fields and through the woods and through the forest and got to this little stream. And they waded into the stream, and you could see the crud on the top of the water. And they would put their jerry cans under the water and fill them up. And it's just real simple for me to explain to you how awful this is. The city of Mount Vernon does have sanitation, right? You have public sanitation. Would you drink surface water in this city? Anywhere that you would find it, in a river, in a stream, in the fields after a big rain. 90% of the people, the only water they had was surface water. Now 41,000 people have water that's distributed close to their homes. It's an amazing, absolutely wonderful thing. When I talked to Bernadette's husband, through a translator, he told me, he said, it's not just that my kids haven't been sick for 6 months. It's that my wife used to go to that place in the woods every day that was dangerous. And now I know she's close to home and she's safe. Covenant Kids Congo is a work of faith because the impossible is becoming reality. But there's one more reason that Covenant Kids Congo is a work of faith, and that is it's simply bringing hope to a place where there historically hasn't been very much hope for a long time. When you look at the map of Congo in the middle of Africa, it's like an orange in the equatorial region, and it sits there, and then there's this little tiny stem that goes out to the ocean. And you kind of ask yourself, what did those boundaries come from? Well, you know what those boundaries came. It came when Europe carved up Africa for itself. And all of the countries of Europe got colonies in Africa so that they could extract all of the natural resources out of Africa for themselves. Do you know that the country of Belgium, Congo, was owned by one man for 30 years? Some of those colonizations of Africa were relatively benevolent. Relatively. But the colonization of the people of Northwest Congo, of all of Congo, was one of the most brutal in all of human history. The brutalization, the subjugation of those people in order to get them to come up with their resources so that they could be taken by Europe was absolutely extraordinary. If you want to read about this, read a book called King Leopold's Ghost. It's a hard book to read, but it's really worthwhile. King Leopold's Ghost. If you grew up in a village in Congo today, you wouldn't only be growing up under the heritage of being a subjugated people living in your own country, a brutalized people living in your own country. You would also be living under the continued economic domination of the West, which is just a fact of our world. And what that means, and this is my best way of understanding it, the best way of trying to interpret it, is that if you grew up in a village in Congo, it means that all of the consumer goods that you want for your family, all the manufactured goods, would always come from somewhere else and come from someone else. Am I making sense here? Not my people, not my village, not my country. All of the really important higher education comes from somewhere else and someone else. All of the military power, all of the business expertise, almost everything that you can imagine making the life of your children better comes from somewhere else and someone else. And I want to tell you, if that was your experience, if that's the experience you grew up with, it would be really easy to believe a pernicious lie. And that lie is that the only way things can ever actually get better for you and your family is if it comes from somewhere else and someone else. Here's what I wanted you to hear. One of the most tragic things that can ever happen to any of us, to any human being, is to believe that by God's grace, our own best future is not in our own hands. That our agency in our lives matters. How we live, how we behave, how we care for others matters. And that's why everything that we do in this program with World Vision is about helping people to use their own assets, their own gifts, their own abilities to create a better world for their children, for their families, and for their community. The simple program that is my favorite of all of the things going on through Covenant Kids Congo is the Women's Savings Groups. They're all through the church of the Covenant Church in Congo. And they're essentially women's Bible study groups, only with enormous discipline and accountability. And, you know, the average income in Congo is like $400 a year. And consumer goods that you want for your family cost, if anything, even more there than they do here. And so these women's savings groups give each other accountability, learn biblical models of home economics and business basics, and giving and stewardship. And what they do is they actually hold each other accountable and do something they never thought was possible, and that is they save money. And then they give each other loans. And then they build a better future for their families and their children. When I visit those savings groups, there is so much joy. There is so much joy. They just radiate. And what's so cool is they're not joyful because I helped them. They're not joyful because the covenant helped them. They're not joyful simply because World Vision has helped them. The joy is, look at what, by the grace of God, I have been able to do for my family. Look at the way that God is allowing me to create a better future for my children. That's a work of faith. What is a work of faith? A work of faith is every step that you and I take based on the extravagant love of God to join Jesus in Jesus' work to make all things new.